My Eagle enthusiasts, it's Fairway Rollin' presented by FanDuel. Major season is here, and you can get in on all the long drives, big putts, and major moments with FanDuel. Check out live PGA Tour bets like longest drive, round leaders, matchups, birdie or better, and more. Plus, track every shot in the app and watch select par three holes while you place your bets. Download the app today and bet with FanDuel, the official betting operator of the PGA Tour. Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 years old or older and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Evernorth Health Services. Costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and Evernorth is doing everything in their power to make that possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best. It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that'll benefit your bottom line. It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible because they're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This special Open Championship pop-up pod is brought to you by Callaway Golf, makers of the number one selling driver in 2017. Pro golfers are on the golf course 6 or 7 days a week. So how do these elite athletes spend their precious off days? Why, Callaway and Vice Sports spent a rare off day with the Open's defending champion, Henrik Stenson, in Orlando, where he learned how to wake surf while discussing his life and career in golf. I got to tell you, Henrik looked pretty good out there today, House. We'll get to that here in our Open Championship pod. Not great on the greens, but the ball striking and being out on the links, the man looks very comfortable in the Open Championship.
I'm not surprised.
I know. It's not a shocker. Go to CallawayGolf.com/collabs to watch the full off-day episode with Henrik Stenson. All right. Let's go to the Shack House, part of the Ringer Podcast Network. House, greetings from a increasingly chilly media center here after a fantastic first day at Royal Birkdale. We had a great time here today. I have been here since bright and early, and it's been a good, solid, fun, lively day of golf from the Open. I hope you got to see some of it.
So, Shaq, it's chilly now. It was because by all indications, it looked like, you know, I wanted to make sure that you had a lot of sunscreen, that you had your hat, that you had full cover up. I was worried about the guys and their suntans, and you know, this was after there was a lot of chatter, and we our own selves were comparing notes on this. I might have tried to steer some folks based on the idea that the weather was going to be bad. It didn't look bad at all today, Shaq. It looked glorious today.
Well, so far every day the forecast has something slightly murky in it, and every day it's fizzled out. And they were accurate right from the get-go. I got to the course at 4:50 a.m. for a midnight drive, which kicked off the coverage, and it was so cold and raining so hard and so nasty, and they were looking good. And then it kind of faded at sunrise. But then the winds never materialize, and it's bizarre, House, because the afternoon wave really had it nice, and not as many players tore it up in the afternoon as I would have thought. But you know, that's may have been the greens. I'm not sure. The course is in incredible condition. So,
as you might imagine, I was concerned because I have a couple of plays out there. I gave these out. 64 and a half, you know, a 6 under today was very much in play for several guys. It was a nervous experience watching the Open Championship for me and maybe some folks that might have taken my guidance so far this particular championship.
Yeah, and I was getting very nervous watching Jordan Spieth on the 18th green. I was out there, and he had, 10 feet, I think, to shoot 64, and I thought for sure I'd be hearing from you immediately, and he didn't do it. But it was a phenomenal round of golf anyway for him. I got to follow him on the back nine and wrote about it for Golf Week. And then he came in the press center after, and the whole package was just so impressive. He didn't hit a lot of fairways if you look at the numbers, but he missed in spots except for one that were really very good places to miss. But the really interesting thing about him today and the other two guys who shot 65 to keep it over that 64 and a half number was just really kind of how effortless it was for them. Spieth was really fun to watch. He was flighting the ball well, and he was very, he was chatty out there with Michael Greller, but he wasn't like the usual kind of rampant play-by-play stuff. He was chewing gum, which we asked him about after. He was calm. He was talking up, but not really getting carried away. I hate to say this, but I think some of it was really just being at the British Open, the Open Championship, and the galleries here. The no Baba Booies. Uh-huh. No, one guy had to tell him that he watched him wire to wire win at Pebble Beach, going off to a tee, and you know that was really a big revelation for him. Really made his day, I'm sure. But the crowds here are so respectful, and he hit two balls into the crowd, and both times he walk up and go, okay, did anybody get hit? Is everybody okay? And then he had a marshal step on his ball, and he watched the guy do it, and he could have really blown up because he got a worse lie when he had to drop it, and he didn't. He just stayed calm. And I was really impressed. The iron play, everything about it. That whole group was pretty impressive. Stenson was very shaky on the greens, but otherwise solid. And Siwoo Kim had a very nice day, hitting the ball terribly. And I had watched him a little in the practice round, hitting lob shots, and I was just thinking, oh, what a stooge! What is he doing? This is the Open Championship. It ended up he was the one hitting all these wacky little creative shots around the green. So I don't know if he had a moment and he figured it out between today and yesterday. But he played some very, very interesting creative shots around the green. So it was a lot of fun to watch them.
The only criticism that I could come up with Spieth, watching it on the broadcast, and he was kind of on the earlier side of this morning's
yes,
televised portion. He was very. You used the word calm. He seemed very self-contained. I don't know if that's
it was. Yeah. Well, he I think it was the gum. I think I'm going with the gum chewing.
he didn't say that in the conference, the press conference.
We asked him. Karen Kraus of the New York Times asked him about it. I had started writing my lead for Golf Week mentioning the gum, and I was not sure whether I wanted to ask it. And thankfully, she did. The great thing about Karen is she is not afraid to ask some of those questions. And he told us a story. He had the same piece of gum in the press conference that he started the day with. Cameron McCormick gave it to him, his instructor. And it just was one of those things, and he did notice that Payne Stewart used to play that way. And then he tried to claim it didn't really have an impact. But you watch, if he doesn't chew gum the rest of the tournament, I'll be shocked. So he also brought the TrackMan out on the range for the first time ever in his career before a round, which I wrote about in the story. Which is for TrackMan geeks, that's kind of it's kind of interesting, and just interesting, that another player is checking their numbers before a round. It's an interesting trend.
Well, his preparation for this tournament, and the same is true of Koepka, was, different for Jordan than years past. He didn't play the deer, and he didn't play the Scottish. So
correct.
He had a quiet week in between. Koepka hasn't played golf since the U.S. Open, as far as I'm aware.
That is correct. And he in his press conference revealed not only has he not played tournament golf since U.S. Open, he hasn't played much golf at all. So his 67 is kind of impressive.
Yeah, I would say that. Well, so the thing with Spieth and taking the time off, that hasn't over the years been the path to an actual, you know, champion golfer of the year at the end of the tournament. Did he talk at all about his approach to this year's event?
In depth, yeah, it was great. They brought him in the press building, which doesn't happen too often anymore. In fact, they brought all three leaders, and I don't know, maybe the players are more receptive because to the British accent when the press person asks. But they all three came in. All, of course, were, well, especially Kuchar and Spieth were outstanding, and Spieth was just went on and on. I mean, every question he just gave these great answers. I asked him about whether he's going to be watching the telecast tomorrow morning. I'm thinking he might stay away from it because it'll just be depressing watching the weather. Although the forecast now, it's really the afternoon guys are going to be the ones that get hit. But we asked him, Tim Rosenfort asked about his little trip to Cabo and hanging out with Michael Phelps and, I'm drawing a blank who else was down there. But anyway, he went on and on about some of the stuff he's been learning from Michael Phelps, and really a lot of it is just diet and zeroing in on his workouts a little bit more aggressively and with a little different focus, he said. And that's what he credits his improved iron play to. So there you go. I guess he's a little more flexible, and he says he gets through the ball better and more consistently. So I have no reason to doubt him. But a lot of interesting stuff in his post-round. So you'll see there's a few articles out there, not just mine. I did not get into the Cabo trip stuff, but I covered some of the other things.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care about the Cabo trip stuff. Go ahead and you know, do you, whatever
well,
you need.
But the point was, he did say he got his mind off golf for a couple days, and then he got the itch back, which, you know, that was, and he played down there, but he needed that just a few days of vegging out, and then get the fire back. And
yeah, mid-season refresher. It's not like the, you know, no offense to the great venues in between the U.S. Open and the Open Championship, but it's not like any of those were must-attends. And he hit the one right after the Open Championship and won the damn event. So, you know, he's in form, I would say. The only thing that was out of form with Spieth, and I'm interested, you saw him with your own two eyes. Speaking of there's a couple guys, we're going to talk about this, that you saw with your own two eyes. What was Spieth look like? He had not one, not two, but three different collars going. Yeah. And his sleeveless puffer, it looked like he was on his way to a Euro trash dance party.
Was Rory.
The password. Well, right. Look, there are a lot of guys that fit this, but Spieth's little puffer, sleeveless puffer, was not translating well, is the way I would say it. Probably not. I might be the wrong demo for this. Probably not my generation, but it looked like he was on his way to a party, and the password to get in was Dieter.
I don't understand the outrage. I was out there on the course, and I was scrolling through Twitter while they were waiting on a shot, and I saw the vest. Hype and outrage over both his and Rory's Marty McFly orange one. And this was scripted. He was going to wear the vest all along today. It was, of course, we now get their scripting, you know.
That doesn't make it any better.
But because they had the bad taste to pick it out ahead of time doesn't help it. No, I just didn't understand all the surprise, except that maybe now the relief is that this means people have stopped reading all those scripting articles, which is probably fine by me. But he looked good. He was comfortable. He took it off when it got warm on 17. He had a half zip underneath and a hibiscus shaded shirt under that. So he
okay.
But anyway, it was he was just very comfortable, and it was fun to watch. He clearly loves being on a links course, and I mean, if you're hitting the ball well, who wouldn't want to be out on this course? It's in great shape, and you had to have a little pep in your step when the wind just didn't materialize quite like the forecast had said. Anyway, we've beaten that one to death. Yeah, so he's great. He's gonna probably win. But anyway, go on.
No, well, this is where I wanted to go with it. I don't think we can say anybody's gonna win. You have no idea, because the thing that today demonstrated is how little of a grasp anybody genuinely has of what the weather's going to produce. I mean, I know we have 21st century technology helping us, and the microclimate there in Southport is the thing that's really driving, you know, the conditions. But it was a windless event. It was like watching Sunday last year at Troon, where it was, you know, Henrik had to take off a layer on the 17th, behind the 17th tee because it was so warm. We got exactly a repeat of this. I thought that we were coming, you know, that we were in store for a bloodbath because of the weather and where the course is situated on the Irish Sea. And that may yet still be the thing.
But tomorrow afternoon.
It was a big surprise today to turn on the TV and see all the sun and all the guys enjoying. You know, that this a 64 under those conditions would have been nothing. I would, you know, not even an eyebrow raiser.
No. And the other thing, the RNA did a nice job with the setup. They didn't really get cute with any hole locations. In fact, they really put a lot of them in based on this wind condition and not in the way that you would, that would make you roll your eyes. It was in the way that would, okay, if the wind's blowing this way, a good player is going to be able to work a ball into that hole location. So it was a very nice setup, very fair. And then we had some rain overnight. We had a decent amount of rain that allowed the course to just soften enough. And then the bunkers also firmed up a little bit. The bunkers were really fluffy and not fun to play out of in the practice rounds. And that little bit of rain just firmed them up enough. So you saw some pretty great bunker recovery shots. So pretty much everything, kind of all those little stars aligned. And I don't care. I mean, we're all very happy here in the media center because we have some, you can get some strange British Open first round leaderboards. And this one's sensational, I think. You know,
that's the word for it.
Kuchar at the top and Casey with a very quiet 66 right there. And Poulter, I think, is just a great story. Justin Thomas right there. Then you have a couple of fun English stories, you know, Richard Bland and Manley and then Cabrera Bayo, who's not English, who won last week. So a nice international mix, Matsuyama lurking. And then, you know, John Rahm goes from looking like a disaster to getting cleared of another rules violation. And it turns out he's posted a 69. Let me see if I can pull it up here.
I didn't realize the two-stroke penalty that was in play.
Correct. It did not happen. Yeah. Okay. So he was very pleased and very happy to give interviews after the round because he was cleared. We're waiting on a statement. One of my colleagues from Golf Week is working on it. He got to interview him. So a good day for Rahm. So really, and then Rory had a great comeback. It was looking like he was going to be taking another weekend off. So really,
I want to talk about Rory and Ricky. Those were the two really interesting performances to me today. I mean, other than sort of the weather, sort of evening out and letting guys get out there and put up some under par numbers, that's one storyline. But the storyline of Rory and Ricky, and they each had, you know, different rounds, but each was extremely gutsy in its own regard.
Yeah.
Let's start with Rory. What did you see, or how much were you able to see of Rory?
Very little. I mean, I watched him I was writing my story when he was at the point where he was really stinking it up. And then, he got it going without that wind there at the end. And I mean, he went from 80-1 to 40-1 in a heartbeat on the updated odds, and they gave it a big fist pump at the end. And, so a nice recovery for him. I don't know what to think still of where he is with his game, but he clearly left the golf course in a good mood, and he's two over one over with a birdie on 18. So that's only six back, and so definitely a big salvation for him. Ricky, on the other hand, wow, was he hitting some bizarre shots, and he is going to sleep well tonight. He was in places that were high stress, high leverage situations. That's my new favorite baseball. Have you been getting that? Do your Nats announcers do that now?
With I've been subjected to the leverage for a little while.
Every situation is a high leverage situation now. Anyway, or a super high leverage situation. Anyway, he had multiple times where he could have the round could have completely unraveled, and he somehow scraped it around and just kind of kept hanging in there. I mean, he hit one drop kick iron on 15. Granted, it was after he'd been looking for his ball and had about 100 people looking for his ball. And it was a great photo that went around on social media. And then they found it. He went out sideways, and then he had an iron into the green. I mean, it just a colossal drop kick short left of the green and didn't get up and down. So it looked like one of those where everything went wrong, that could go wrong and did. And it's going to be interesting to see if he can make a couple little adjustments because I think his body language was very unusual. I don't know how much you saw, but he was visibly mad at himself and mad and flustered a few times, and he just doesn't get that way very often. So I believe, having seen him play at the Scottish, I think I said on the previous show how effortless the game looked for him, and then what does he do? He goes out there and has a round that was just all smoke and mirrors to get through it.
But that's precisely the point. This is the thing that impressed me about him. He has not this season. He's been in form all season long, yeah. And I would say he hasn't really confronted the kind of adversity. Now these are self-made errors that he's entirely 100% responsible for. But he hadn't encountered that kind of adversity, and for him to finish the way that he did. And to hang in there. I thought it was a pretty incredible round. And I think, all things considered, from what we've observed of him, the kind of player that he is, it's in a way, this is a kind of dumb thing to say, but it strikes me as possibly better for him to have had that round as the entry point in, as opposed to the way that he began the U.S. Open, which is a kind of a crazy thing to say.
No, I think you're absolutely right. In a weird way, I mean, he won't. He's exhausted.
No, I know. That's for us. This is for our pop psychology.
No, but it's fascinating. I think you're right. I think it's a fascinating little turn, and we'll see what he does tomorrow and how he recovers. But all in all, I mean, the more I look at this, the diversity of games and storylines and the way the course performed, it really was an outstanding day. Now, did you? Like a lot of people, you were working. Did you have this on some NBC streams? What were you looking at? And what did you think of the coverage?
I thought the coverage on balance was excellent. They delivered exactly the right combination of tech features. So I learned the golf course today, and that's always what I want out of a Thursday broadcast. I want Thursday to help me learn the golf course so that as the week goes on, I have a familiarity with the holes. I know where trouble is. I know where, if a guy hits it in that place, then he's cooked. I very much appreciate that out of the Thursday presentation. And I thought the broadcast was a home run in that respect. I learned the golf course today. The other thing that was an absolute revelation, speaking of home runs, I can't tell you how good Bones was. I mean,
good.
It is as though he has been training for 10 years, walking the golf course behind Phil, doing his own private commentary on what's going on. And that's how well-versed he was. He had unbelievable stories. He told an incredible story about Phil playing with Bubba. Bubba was coming up 18 fairway, and Bones insisted on sharing the story about how Phil encountered Bubba early in Bubba's career. Bubba's still in college, and that Phil did a little just because he was coming to Athens, Georgia, to visit Bones, Bones' hometown, and he would go play with the guys at the University of Georgia once in a while. And Bubba happened to be there, and they wagered, and Bubba did not beat Phil. And as a result, Bones thinks it's the case that Bubba still owes Phil a plane washing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good.
That's
not a story you're going to get. I'm not going to name names, but like from your regular, Saturday, Sunday broadcast on the usual, programmers, you're not getting those kinds of stories. So he was also, as you would expect, like extremely astute in terms of his observations, but super articulate. I mean, we've seen interviews with him. We know how well-spoken he is and how concise he can be. But I just found his overall presentation, it felt as though he'd been doing it for a decade, which is why I made the joke about him, walking behind Phil all these years and maybe doing commentary under his breath. I don't know.
I thought it was pretty bold that they put him out there in the range of Phil and the ability to comment on him. I wasn't expecting that right out of the shoot, but I guess why not? It's the best way to handle it. Let him comment on Phil.
Well, he had a much better performance than Phil did today.
Yes. As several noted, he'll be working the weekend, and Phil probably won't be unless he goes out tomorrow and does something special. The thing that also was funny about just last thing on Bones was how many writers noted, hey, I've been trying to get these stories out of him for years, and he's never cracked. And there he was just spilling the beans on round one of the Open. But good for him.
Yeah, right. I think he's a professional. He's not giving that stuff up for free.
No.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that was the case with the broadcast. I have it here, and when we were in, I was able to see it. I agree with you. They did a nice job with the course and the aerials. A lot of this is part of the World Feed. Some of it's NBC. They had a putting graphic. I didn't understand a thing that made no sense at all to me, actually, showing a line of a putt.
The one thing I will say criticism-wise, because of the nature of the feed onto into your digital platform, it was an extraordinary number of commercials. It was a murderous number of commercials.
Oh, okay.
So it was not, you know, in the vein of the U.S. Open or the Masters, where you get sort of a much less intrusive commercial interruption. This was, you know, equal to watching it on TV at home, perhaps even more. I mean, if you tried to do any rewind or forward wind, it is nice to having that capacity at your desktop, but you would immediately get stuck in the three commercial loop that you couldn't break out of anytime you tried to move
okay,
it.
Cause
what so that's I'm a murder.
Interesting, because the one thing I noticed watching NBC here, and I'll get some clarification on this for our show on Sunday night, that sounds like a digital issue and a digital ad package deal, because here I actually commented to somebody, you know, this is the first year for NBC under their terms of the agreement they reached with the RNA. And I actually felt like there was a much less commercial inventory on the broadcast from the perspective here that we were watching compared to the old model because NBC basically worked under the contract terms of the NBC, the ESPN deal, which was always way too many commercials. And so I'll try to find out what the number is per hour, because it seemed better to me, but that sounds more like
maybe I caught a bad stretch. I don't know.
I know how those things can be, because the PGA of America used to have one with the PGA Championship where you had any interruption at all, and then suddenly you're getting the Mercedes ad playing again or whatever it was, and it was brutal. So I'll see what I can find out on that. They had Tirico. They moved the announcers around, so it seemed like a good setup. But anything about the place you're curious about just from watching? I mean, I've gotten to know it fairly well now, and I've really enjoyed walking around it, and great crowds today, too.
I want to get your thoughts on what guys you're interested in seeing. I'm going to share with you my guy. I am now on fire for Rory. What he did on that back nine, and the way he was putting, and the way he was seeing lines, it was that version of Rory where you can see him seeing the line, and you know that he's going to make the putt. That happened three times on the back,
okay.
And I was like, this,
"All right,
look out!" I mean, he's six shots back. Look out for Rory. That's where I'm at right now.
I'm letting you have him. He's all yours. He's all yours, my friend. How about Bubba Watson at 2 under? And I don't know if you got to see it. Anybody got to see it? His body language, his focus, everything looked sensational. Looked like Bubba from a few years ago, which just occurred. I mean, like, where did this come from?
I've been waiting. He had a good memorial, and I actually, right on Sunday of the memorial, put in a small wager on Bubba for the U.S. Open at 80-1, because, you know, the early take on Aaron Hills was that it was going to be a bomber's course, and I thought, you know, but there's Bubba's showing a little something. I was really impressed with his round today.
Yeah, no, this is a really interesting thing for him to break through, and then he's going to be out in the morning tomorrow. So we'll see what the people are saying. Now, I went completely out of control at Ladbrokes with I got into some prop bets and fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
My guy Andy Sullivan is still getting no respect, shot a decent even par round. Alexander Levy had it to 2 under. I was getting very excited early and fumbled a little bit coming in my 250-1 shot, man. Andy Sullivan still hanging in there. What are the punters saying about Bubba? Is there any love for Bubba? No, it doesn't appear they're too excited. Well, I may have to, you know, get over before dinner.
You might get a price.
Obviously I'm excited just to see what these afternoon guys do if the forecast holds. Because the forecast that I have says it's going to get very, very ugly in the afternoon, and the players are banking on that. Spieth sort of is planning for that. And
Give me the comparison. Is the morning tomorrow going to be like the afternoon was today?
A cakewalk? I don't know. I think it won't be that nice, but it won't be that bad either.
What's coming in? Is it wind? Is it wind and rain?
We have a chance of gusts up to 35. Winds generally 15 to 20 with gusts to 30, but perhaps 35 in the afternoon.
And what and time is even 15 not, is enough to, very, to mess with
not,
guys? What
they're
time?
Not really committing to.
Yeah, of course they are. No, no, I'm sure they're been, not.
No, nah, they've been a little bit weak on that front. So I think that'll be we'll see. It'll just be fun to kind of see the luck of the draw works out. You know, Spieth's view was that he's going to play 30 of these and it's going to be 50-50 in the end. And he's really taking this sort of, I guess what I loved what I saw there is he's taking this big picture view that now that there's urgency, but there isn't that urgency where you sense, okay, maybe he's trying too hard or pressing too much. And that's the first time I've kind of felt that around him where you don't feel like he's going to get carried away and waste a lot of energy. So anyway,
it's an outstanding leaderboard. Yeah. We've got the perfect first day summary here. I'm glad that we've reached the end of this. I did not have to talk about Jason Day's
joggers
and Jordans.
We didn't cover that on the fashion. How about that?
What do you mean, how about that? That is,
the fact that
he shot a 1 under today after gym class is really impressive. I'm glad that he was able, you know, after his exercises to make it out to the golf course and walk around and get us a nice 61.
Leg warmers.
A nice 69.
Somebody had a great tweet that he actually just violated the new LPGA dress code, which bans the joggers. The other thing he did at his press conference the other day, he brought his gym bag and set it down next to him. And then when he got up, he kind of picked up the bag and I went, oh no, are we trying to sell some goods here? Or what's going on? I haven't seen this, but a couple of people said Westbrook and a few of the NBA guys have done this now to the pressers, brought a weekender bag or something because he's got, he's got a hammer.
Part of the ensemble.
He's trying too hard.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Callaway Live with Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons, who loves Lynx golf, who at some point we're going to get on the Shack House?
Yes.
Did you watch the show?
I will tell you, I watched the first 10 minutes. The reveal was the thing that I was most curious to see. I wanted to see Harry Arnett. Yes. Harry was very calm, cool, and collected. He thought he was going to get you. Who he's had, interviewed 25 times. and then when Matty Ice appeared, enthusiasm doesn't even capture it. It was genuine love. It was the surprise mixed with a really endearing enthusiasm out of Harry.
He's clearly a Falcons fan. He proved that. So anyway, I urge people to check it out. I have it posted on my site, Callaway Live. You can search on the internet. Matt Ryan, great show. Jeff Newbarth produced. And obviously Harry has to ask the 15 Super Bowl questions. But then when he gets to it, there's really some cool stuff with Matt Ryan about Lynx golf, why he loves it. He goes annually on a trip. And then he gets into interesting stuff on why he plays golf to help with his flexibility, which I thought was fascinating. Kind of a, gets into some stuff about rotation and different things. And a very cool guy. It was just an honor to meet him, and such a class act. So I urge people to check that out, especially this time of year. It's just kind of cool that we're getting ready for NFL training camps and all that. And here's a guy who's a quarterback, a star quarterback, loves his golf. So Callaway Live is it's really an outstanding episode, and not because I was the foil at the beginning. So we're going to come back on Sunday night after the final round.
Yes,
and we'll
we
have lots to kick around, I think. It's going to be a doozy. And in the meantime, lots of coverage on my site, jeffshackelford.com, golfweek.com, and then you'll be tweeting a little bit. I'll probably tweet some.
I definitely will.
Some betting updates.
Always a pleasure, Jeff Shackelford.
Absolutely. Another fine Shack House is in the can. Thank you, House.
Another fine Shack House. British Open edition on the Ringer Podcast Network.